evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. Appreciate you spending your evening with us. Tonight we're talking about superstitions, Friday the 13th, strange coincidences, just bizarre factoids. If you've got something you'd like to share with us, give us a call this evening, just like these folks have done. Felix in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast AM. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Yeah, I had a little thought of irony there. John Wilkes Booth was an actor, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And didn't he break his leg when he jumped onto the stage after he shot Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, I believe that is the rumor that he broke his leg. So, yeah, I don't know if that necessarily is a good thing, though, right? If you're telling people break a leg on stage, that didn't work out too good for anybody in that story.
Well, I guess it was good for the people. Well, they didn't catch him right away, you know, but still, it is kind of ironic. Plus, also that the hangman's noose has 13 wines.
I guess I didn't know that either. Very cool. Thank you, Felix. I appreciate you giving me a call. You know, one of the really interesting things I was fascinated by, and I'm sure we all had this at one point, the little card with the penny on it and the 50-cent piece with Kennedy and Lincoln and talking about the strange coincidences. Paul Landrum was kind enough to send this over to me a little bit ago and gave me this chart showing the coincidences in the deaths of Lincoln and Kennedy. And some items that are also commonly listed in comparison have been deleted as incorrect now. And there's some updates to the list, so it's kind of interesting. Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846. John F. Kennedy was elected to Congress in 1946. Exactly 100 years later. Lincoln elected president in 1860. Kennedy elected president in 1960. Lincoln, his wife, lost a child while living in the White House, and so did Jackie O. How about the fact that Lincoln was directly concerned with civil rights? So was John F. Kennedy. Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy who told him not to go to the theater. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln who told him not to go to Dallas. Now, we'll talk about that in a few seconds. Lincoln was shot in the back of the head in the presence of his wife. Kennedy was shot in the back of the head in the presence of his wife. Lincoln shot in the Ford Theater while Kennedy shot in a Lincoln made by Ford. Lincoln was shot on a Friday, so was John F. Kennedy. The assassin, John Wilkes Booth, was known by three names comprised of 15 letters. The assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was also known by all three names, also comprised of 15 letters. Booth shot Lincoln in a theater and was reported to have fled to a warehouse, whereas Oswald shot Kennedy from a warehouse and then fled to a theater. Booth was killed before being brought to trial, and we all know what happened to Oswald also being killed before going to trial. There were theories that Booth was part of a greater conspiracy, and theories, of course, that Oswald part of a much bigger conspiracy. Lincoln's successor was Andrew Johnson, born in 1808. John F. Kennedy's successor was Lyndon Johnson, born 100 years later in 1908. Now, it's just an urban myth that Lincoln actually had a secretary named Kennedy. There's no actual record of that. And there is also no record whether or not Kennedy's secretary warned him about going to Dallas. And then on another note, John Wilkes Booth actually fled to a farm and was killed in a tobacco barn. So it might be kind of a stretch to call it a warehouse, but 2 years after his death, Booth's body was temporarily moved to a warehouse. Also, after the assassination, the government closed the Ford Theater and turned it into a warehouse. A couple other interesting facts. Apparently, Lincoln had a dream several days before the assassination that he had been killed, and he told his wife that he had seen himself in a casket. Also, again, we talked about this, Lincoln's son, Tad, had a pet turkey named Jack. Tad asked his father not to kill the turkey for Thanksgiving. Although Harry S. Truman started the official tradition, Lincoln was the first to pardon a Thanksgiving turkey. And I guess here it says, now what would be really interesting is if Kennedy had a pet named Abe or had pardoned someone by that name. So far, nobody's heard of that. Skeptics do disagree. Some skeptics will say that you could take any two famous people and find a number of similar type coincidences between them. The only problem with the theory is that there really haven't been any listings of such comparisons, and certainly none has been as extensive as the Lincoln and Kennedy similarities. That's always fascinated me since childhood. Again, take a look at it for yourself. The facts are out there. You can research it and check it out. And I want to thank Paul Landrum for sending that to me this evening. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with your calls. Nancy in California, Anthony in Fort Lauderdale, and Gabriel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. You're up next on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM is on the air. I'm your host for the evening, sitting in for George Norrie. My name is Dave Schrader. We're taking your phone calls this hour. Open phone lines. First-time caller line, Nancy. Let's talk to you in California. What's going on this evening, Nancy?
Well, I have two questions on superstitions.
Sure.
First one, where or why is it bad luck to open an umbrella when you're indoors?
Boy, you know, that's a new one on me, too. I don't know. And unfortunately, Charles is no longer with us. Yeah. I'll try to look that up while we're talking here. But go ahead. What was your other one?
The second one, a friend of mine said that her grandmother told her that you're calling death if you put a hat at the foot of a bed.
Wow, that's another new one on me. I've never heard that before. You're calling death.
Yeah, you're calling death if you put your hat on the foot of a bed.
I've never heard that one before. No, I'll be a lot more careful where I toss my hats, though. Here we go. According to this information, it says here, open an umbrella indoors and bad luck will rain on you. But why?
Oh.
There are two schools of thought on this. The most common stems from the days when umbrellas were used mainly as protection against the sun. To open one indoors would be to insult the local sun god, especially Ra, and invite his wrath on everyone in your household. Another theory borrows from the idea of an umbrella as a protector against the storms of life. If you were to open one in your home, the household guardian spirits might think you felt their protection was insufficient, and then they'd leave in a huff. Once again, everyone in the house would be then left cursed. In truth, the superstition, it says here, is probably coincidental. Someone left his umbrella open in the hall and had a terrible day, and he told his friend to keep their umbrella shut, and that's kind of how it spread. So that's probably more along the lines of what actually went on with that. But thank you very much for calling in and being part of the show tonight, Nancy.
Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Wild card, line one. Anthony in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Welcome to Coast to Coast. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for my call, Dave.
Sure.
I was, we talk about aircraft. I was on the USS Nimitz, the triple sticks, 111, all 111 aircraft in the Navy. They don't use that number anymore because all triple sticks have crashed. So they don't use triple sticks no more.
Really?
On their labeling, yes.
You know,
the number for the aircraft.
Wow, that's fascinating. I never heard that. I was not aware of that. Thank you, first of all, for serving our country and doing what you do. But that's fascinating. They've all crashed.
Yes. And also, when you talk about Abraham Lincoln, I'm named after John, my great-grandfather, John Huff, Civil War. He shook hands with Abraham Lincoln. I shook hands with Jimmy Carter during the hostage attempt when they came into Virginia. So I had a connection with my great-grandfather there. He shook a president. I shook a president's hand. And I'm named after him.
Oh, that's very cool. Name. Well, thank you for calling. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, just one more. Snowden, why is his name Snowden? And you hear all the crazy jokes. I came up with secrets now out with damaging effects nationwide. Snowden.
Very nice. Turning it into an anagram. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Gabriel, or I'm sorry, Anthony, for giving us a call this evening. Let's go to wildcard line three. Gabriel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. What would you like to share with us?
Good morning, Dave. Earlier when your guest was on, you were talking about the 13th or, you know, the supposed 13th zodiac sign, Ophidicus.
Right.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. You know, it's never been incorporated into the system that we have right now. Who knows? Maybe because the name's too difficult to pronounce. But that's the only. It's my birthday. It happens to fall within the proposed date for that sign, and I'm on December 5th. And I've never identified with the Sagittarius description of the Sagittarius. So when I found out about this, I looked it up and I actually liked it. I found it was more applicable. But the odd thing about this, and I don't know why it was eliminated, because I think it makes more sense having a 13th symbol because it is more consistent with the lunar cycle. The symbol is the only one that's based on a human figure, whereas the rest of them are all based on heavenly bodies. Although the symbol exists in modern day, the carcass, the symbol that's used for doctors, it evolved from this serpent bearer concept, which can be traced back to, I think, either, depending on which civilization and culture you're talking about, either Joseph or sometimes Alexander the Great. But it basically represented this greatness of man, you know, that a human could actually rise to the level of a god or a heavenly figure. But for some reason, someone or several cultures decided that it shouldn't be part of the system. The thing that I find really interesting about it is, the whole thing makes sense to me to incorporate it in, but what if it was? What if they actually did, all the astrologers did introduce this character? I mean, they'd have to adjust all the dates for the other 12 signs. And I think my personal theory is that they don't want to incorporate this 13th symbol in, because a lot of astrologers would have to admit that all their charts don't make sense and are off. I mean, I personally, I'm a very open-minded person. I believe in quite a few things, but I have never been comfortable with astrology. For me, it's a pseudoscience, if even that. And I think that the entire community, can you imagine? I mean, we just have to recalibrate everything and in the process admit that all the speculations have been completely off. So I think that's why it's never going to happen. By the way, the same gentleman that theorized or tried to introduce this 13th character also said there was a 14th, which the name of which I can't remember. So, that's what I know about this character, this 13th symbol. I'd like to see it reintroduced. It seemed to make more sense to me than any of the others, but I doubt it'll ever happen.
Well, you've got a lot of great points there, and there's been a lot of change. They made a big point of it a year or so ago when they wanted to change this and bring in the 13th astrological symbol. But, and a lot of the people that are very concise and believe that it is a science said that there's no need to add this symbol and that it does, fit in, but it just doesn't, there's no need for it. It's kind of a superfluous addition. So, I guess that's where they're going to stick with it at this point. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Cheryl, Huntington Beach, California. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. And a great show tonight, as usual. But I would like to tell you something. I'm very lucky. I was born on the 13th, on a Friday, and I was born during a hurricane, believe it or not. And the hurricane's name was the same name as my great aunt. My parents had to drive from Salem, New Hampshire, to Boston, Massachusetts, which is where I was born. And by the time they had arrived there, I had, turned around. So I was born breech. And my mother was very little. And they had to actually break one of her ribs to remove me from her. But I must say that I was the second child, the youngest, of course. And the other thing I want to say was that 13 has always been a very fortunate, very giving number for me. My son always played baseball with a 13 number on his back and always had a .360 batting average. And so I think that there's a lot of positive, and I think people give too much negative to that number.
And I agree with you on that. I think when you focus too much on it, anything can be a bad number or unlucky number for you. And if you keep looking for it, you'll see it pop up. It's a lot like people that talk to me about trying to make communication with spirits, and they want to see or hear from their their loved ones that have passed, and they ask for a symbol or a sign, and then suddenly they see the pack of Pall Mall cigarettes that Dad used to smoke. You may have noticed that every day, but because today you asked for a symbol, you noticed it, and your brain is trying to make sense of the information that it, you know, sees every day. So it very well just could be the brain tricking itself into believing that these are signs to us.
Well, I also must say that when I called in earlier this evening, my clock actually said 1:11, and there's a lot of things with 11:11. I see 11:11 very frequently, and I always wondered why I saw those numbers.
Well, and, again, yeah, those are two master power numbers. They're very strong. Marie D. Jones, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the co-author on her book, but Larry Flaxman, I believe it is. Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman, thank you to Tim, my engineer, for getting in my ear with that one, wrote 11:11, The Time Prompt Phenomena. You can find that book, and they go into many of the different theories and ideas behind it. So there is quite a bit of, you know, you're not one of the only people in the world that sees that. So it is a phenomena that really grabs people's attention. But again, it's a recognizable pattern number, and the brain works that way with pareidolia. The brain is always seeking to make sense of anarchy. That's why when you look up at the clouds, you see a ducky and a bunny, or you look at the tree and you see Jesus in the sap, or you look at an oil spot on the ground and it looks like the Virgin Mary. It's because the brain is always trying to recognize patterns. So 11:11 might just be one that jumps out at you because it's a very, you know, basic focus number and it's easy to notice it. But you might, if you actually start trying to take notice during the day, if you notice how many times you actually look at the clock, you might surprise yourself to realize you're looking at it 40 other two times a day. It just so happens you hit 11:11 because you're timed on it.
Well, because I clock out at 11 and it takes me 11 minutes to get home.
Well, there you go. So you've got another link to it as well.
I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. We appreciate talking to you, Cheryl. Let's grab one more call here before the break. Kate in Camarillo, how do you say that? Camarillo, California, and west of the Rockies line. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. I'm so glad I got in, and I appreciate Coast to Coast very much. Listen for years. 13, it's a comforting number to me because I break it down to 4. And in my life, my mother was a spiritual leader, and 4 was a number that she enjoyed as a number of balance. Are you there?
Yep, we're here. I'm listening to you.
Oh, sorry.
Sure.
Yeah. And her following made her two lovely necklaces that were 4s. And when she passed, it was a very sad time, of course.
Of course.
But she left a comforting feeling to all of us because she died on the 4th month, the 4th day, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And
so you have this connection with 4s and find some comfort in that. That's beautiful, Kate, and I'm glad that there is something like that. And you're wondering, how does 13 come to that in numerology? If you add the two numbers together, giving her the 4, that'll kind of break it down on how it all works and where the numbers come into. Kate, thank you for hanging in with us and being on the phone. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back, and we'll continue with your phone calls, other strange tidbits and information, and some other great stories. That's all coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Good morning. Thank you for hanging out with me for the evening. My name, Dave Schrader, and I'm the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. You can hear me 5 nights a week as we explore the strange and supernatural at darknessradio.com. And then stay tuned, because right after Darkness Radio, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM takes over, and you'll be able to continue your journey into the bizarre and unusual world around us. Speaking of bizarre and unusual, tonight we're talking about strange patterns, weird things. Friday the 13th. Here's a news story from East Rutherford. You know, we all live in life, right, where we want to see karma revisited on somebody that just has done something stupid. How come we never get to watch it revisit on them? We never get to watch those people have it come back. Well, that's not the case this week. In a bit of ironic scenario, New York Jets football player Michael Vick was attacked by a pit bull as he left MetLife Stadium this Saturday back in March. The 34-year-old quarterback was leaving the stadium after visiting with his new team's management when a stray pit bull suddenly darted towards him. Onlookers say the dog gave chase as Vic attempted to use some of his classic juke moves to avoid it. Unswayed by Vic's attempts to elude him, the dog locked onto his left thigh. The dog shook violently back and forth while locked onto Vic's leg. According to numerous bystanders, Vic let out a high-pitched scream of agony as the dog continued to attack him. The dog was successfully pried from the veteran quarterback's leg after an agonizing 10 minutes. So all those dog fights, apparently karma did revisit, and Michael Vick felt the full wrath of that. We're going to continue, and we'll have more calls to take as we wrap up our evening here together on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, Sue Ann in Newburgh, Indiana. Thank you for hanging out with me this evening. What's your story? What would you like to talk about?
Well, it's kind of a long one, and it has to do with coincidences of birthdays in the family.
Sure, go ahead.
It starts with both sets of my great-great-grandparents. They were all four born on August the 10th, so they decided to have their weddings on August the 10th, and they were married in the same year. They had a double wedding. On my mother's side of the family, which is the Riley side of the family, my mother's father, from grandmother and grandfather, Riley, my grandfather, was born on June the 10th, and he had a son. No, he wasn't born on the 10th. Let's see. Oh, yeah. He married my grandmother, and they had my mother born on June the 10th, and my grandfather died on Christmas Day, and their son was always thought that the number 13 was lucky for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to propose to Congress during the Second World War to get a number 13 on his plane, because he always felt that he would be shot down and died if he did not have the 13 on it. So it went through Congress. They said, yes, you may have it. And they eventually painted it on his plane. And the day before he left for the service, during World War II, he was a pilot, and his mother was really great at finding four-leaf clovers, and she was standing at the railway station and walked kind of away toward a grassier area, looked down, found a four-leaf clover, gave it to my uncle, and he kept him with it the entire time he was in the service, and it lasted a long time before it fell apart, like when he was retired. Then, let's see, I'm trying to think here.
So that's an amazing, yeah, that's an amazing amount of coincidences, and certainly turning things into good luck and having an amazing history with it all. Thank you very much for calling in, Sue Ann, and sharing with us. Let's go to Wildcard Line 1. John, Long Beach, California, one of my favorite places on earth. What's going on?
Mine too. By the way, the Michael Vick thing, that's kind of mixing karma and dogma together, isn't it?
Nicely played.
You know, the old license plate, my karma ran over your dogma, you know, that kind of thing. that is karma, though. But I wanted just to mention something. Have you heard of the Umbrella Man at the Kennedy assassination? It was sunny that day, and apparently there was people saw it. I studied this, the Kennedy assassination, and right before he came take that turn by the grassy knoll, somebody lifted up an umbrella for a few seconds and put it down again. And the conspiracy theorists think that was one of two things: one of that he was signaling all systems are go, and also as some sort of sign that to say the Bay of Pigs, when it happened, they didn't get the air coverage they were supposed to get. But when you mentioned the umbrella, it certainly was unlucky for Kennedy, you know. But some people say that. But what I really called about, and then I'll get off because I know other people want to get on, is it's just an oddity. I read a book recently on Leonardo da Vinci, and a lot of people don't know he was contemporary of Michelangelo. They knew each other, and they both lived to be in their 80s and almost to 90, which is a complete rarity for that time. But there was Da Vinci had also Leonardo from Vinci, the city, had a nephew named Leonardo who had all the talent that he did, apparently, and the people had great hope for him, but he died at age 23 of a fever. So it makes me wonder how many geniuses became geniuses because they lived long, and how many how many people died, you know, who would have been great. You know what I mean? Like all the rock and roll people that died at 27, things like that.
Yeah, that is a very bizarre coincidence, too, as we look down the whole deal of 27 Club. Thank you for calling in, John. Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, I love Long Beach. I second home for a number of years was the Queen Mary. We were down there twice a year hanging out, investigating claims of the paranormal and having some bizarre experiences on the Queen Mary. Thank you, John, for calling in. East of the Rockies, Julia in San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the show. What did you want to talk about?
Hi, Dave. Right? Is this your name?
Yep, my name is Dave.
Okay, hi, I'm Julia.
Hi, Julia.
I wanted to talk about, I'm a very religious person, and I've heard many signs from God, many messages through sounds and through visions, and I just wanted to talk about the significance of 666.
All right, what have you got for me?
Well, I was 19, and I went through a Passover to where I died from a stab wound to the chest, and I came back, and 3 days later, I got an ulcer on my right hand. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and God has sent me direct messages that I'm fine, that the last time I smoked marijuana, I heard the great eagle, and it was a time of I was being baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Well, I'm glad, Julia, that you were able to survive that, and I thank you for coming on and sharing some of your insight with us. I mean, it's a tragedy, but I'm glad that things have turned around and that you find peace in your life with your belief system. Wild card line two, Chaz in Lodi, California. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Good evening. I just want to tell you a quick baseball story.
Go for it.
Verifiable on the internet.
Okay.
It's about
it's
a man
be true
who was
if it's
playing
on the internet.
Oh yeah, it has to be. No, I've read about this several times.
Okay.
Anyway, it's about a man that's playing a baseball game, has a successful first game, gets hit by a pitch in the first game. Second game, the man bats twice. Two hits, two runs batted in. Both of his hits are doubles. In the field, he has made two errors, has two putouts, two assists. At the very end of the game, the man comes up and bats again. For the second time in the day, the man is hit by a pitch. The pitcher's name was Carl Mays. The batter's name was Ray Chapman. It's called the Jinx of Number Two. He's the only professional baseball player ever killed in a major league game.
Wow.
Yeah, impressive, isn't it?
Well, and what team? What teams were they on?
You know, I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read about it, about three different times, but I believe it was in 1920 or 1921. But yeah, Ray Chapman is definitely the only man ever to be killed in a game, and Carl Mays was a submarine pitcher and hit the man in the head and killed him.
I wonder if, obviously there was the curse that took place, the curse of Bambino with the Boston Red Sox. And talk about the curse of twos. I know when he was with Chicago, Bill Buckner was number 22. I wonder if he was still number 22 when he was with the Red Sox and he let that ball go between his legs that cost him the World Series so many years ago.
Oh, I sure remember that clearly, but I do not remember his number. But
All right, Chess. Yeah, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening this evening. Also, let's go to Rich in Warsaw, Indiana. First-time caller line. Welcome to the show, Rich.
excellent show today, Dave. But I've especially enjoyed the discussions about political figures, historic political figures. But since this is 2014, I was wondering if there's any number or date things that could be relating to the current President Obama that obviously haven't happened yet. But was just curious about that.
You know, I'm not familiar with anything at this point. And okay. If somebody's out there that knows it, I'm sure they'll shoot me an email on that. And if they do, I encourage you to shoot me an email as well, Rich, at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And if I get an answer, I'll forward it over to you.
Super. And I just want to let you know, I've been driving from New York. I'm in Indiana right now. I've listened to you on so many different channels, which just means you're carried all around.
Yeah, Coast to Coast AM on over 500 stations, I believe, around the world. We're very proud of the extensive amount of stations that listen and people that tune in to the show from all around the world. Thank you for giving us a call this evening and listening and making us part of your nighttime entertainment, Rich. We appreciate that. Let's go west of the Rockies. Patrick in Twin Peaks. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was born on the 13th in room 413. At 10:13 in the morning, I weighed 7 pounds, 6 ounces. My address was 12325 Otsego Street. That adds up to 13. And now I live right next to Lake Arrowhead, 13. Plus, if you add my first and last names together, that adds up to 13. And on my 13th birthday, I dropped my birthday cake with 13 candles on a plate glass tabletop. So my 13s are, I don't know, back and forth, but it made the LA paper.
Well, that's cool, boy. That's a lot of 13s all built up one on top of each other. Very interesting. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad 13 has worked out pretty well for you. And thank you for tuning in and listening to the show tonight, Patrick. So what have we learned? 13 isn't necessarily a bad number. There's been some unfortunate coincidences, but is that all it is? Is the superstitions nothing more than just coincidences that begin to add up and people notice it? As our guest said earlier this evening, Charles Richbloom, you know, there are things that happen on days all year round, and somebody that may have lost their father may find that on that day every month there's something horrible that happens. And is it truly because something horrible happened, or they're just more aware of it on those days? That's probably more of the case. Let's go to Wild Card 1. Kurt, welcome to Coast AM. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, it's about the ring around the moon for one thing.
Okay, what have you got?
Well, my great-grandmother was a Cherokee Indian, and she told me that when there's a full moon and a ring around it, you count the number of stars inside the ring. That means that many days till it's going to rain.
Oh, really? And you counted how many, what was it, how many stars within the ring?
Right, and I can tell you exactly why it's true.
Okay, go ahead.
When there's a full moon, you can't see too many stars because it's pretty bright.
Right.
So you see one or two stars, that's pretty good. And the clouds are, I believe the cirrus clouds, and they always come before a storm anyway. So it all sort of makes sense.
I guess so. Makes natural sense. It's great how nature has a way of telegraphing itself to us. You know, I keep a keen eye when you're wondering if rain is coming, watching the leaves themselves turn over and expose themselves in different ways that all the nature around us will start to let us know. Birds will go lower to the ground in most cases, and leaves will turn. Very, very fascinating when you start watching for the signs. Talking about
you mentioned the leaves.
Right.
I just have to remember, my grandmother also told me that when the leaves blow inside out, it's going to rain.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you very much for giving us a call. East of the Rockies, Tommy, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great and getting better. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. I've got a quick question I want to ask you. I don't know if you have the answer or not. My wife and I have been in a dispute for a couple of years now, and even the blacksmith who made the horseshoes for us couldn't answer this question. Do you tilt a horseshoe with the open end up or the open end down to get good luck?
You want to keep the open end up, because the idea is if you turn it down, the good luck pours out of it.
Okay.
So the idea is always to have it like a U instead of like a small case N.
Right. And the converse I heard on that, too, was that you wanted it upside down so that the bad luck would it would act like an umbrella and keep the bad luck off of you.
Interesting. I guess, it's going to depend on what kind of culture, what kind of belief system you come from. But, yeah, for everything I've ever heard in my entire life, it's turn it up into the U, which is going to keep the good luck inside for the family that uses it.
Well, I asked for your opinion, and I got it. So thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you very much for tuning in and being a part of the show with us. Always appreciate hearing from people. Hey, some weird news. Check this out. Kind of looking at some of the laws that govern the supernatural. Did you know Tibetan Buddhists must apply for a reincarnation license from the Chinese government? Want to be a Tuluku? Well, one of the enlightened teachers of Tibetan Buddhism in China, you'll need to follow State Religious Affairs Bureau Order Number 5 and fill out a reincarnation application. The application will be submitted to the Religious Affairs Department of the provincial level government, the provincial level government state administration for religious affairs, and the state council. So what happens if you're reincarnated as a living Buddha without a permit? Your reincarnation is deemed illegal or invalid. Bizarrely, China Daily calls on the ban on unsolicited reincarnation, an important move by the government to safeguard religious freedom of citizens according to law. And if you want to perform an exorcism, you should probably do it in Texas. It's a rather tragic case, but Laura Schubert claimed that when she was 17, members of her church, the Pleasant Glade Assembly of God, performed an exorcism on her against her will, and that she received physical injuries and began hallucinating as a result. While a lower court awarded Schubert $300,000 for abuse and false imprisonment, the Pleasant Glade Assembly of God eventually appealed to the Texas Supreme Court, which in a 6-3 decision rejected the jury award on First Amendment grounds, saying the case would be unconstitutionally entangle the court in matters of church doctrine. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear Schubert's appeal. Lots of strange, weird tidbits of news and factoids if you look for them. It's been a fascinating night. I want to thank everybody involved in the show, all of our great callers who tuned in and wanted to share with us. I want to thank our producers for the evening, Gina, for answering the calls and setting us up with so many fantastic people. Dan, thank you. Tim, my engineer, Tim Dennis here. Of course, Lisa Lyon and George Norrie for letting me sit in the big boy chair. Our guest this evening, Charles Richbloom. And again, congratulations to the Los Angeles Kings for winning the Stanley Cup. And on a special Father's Day acknowledgement, I want to thank my father, Jim, and engineer Tim Dennis's father, Rick Dennis. Thank you for all you do for all of us. And for all the fathers in the Coast to Coast audience, thank you and have a blessed weekend filled with love and laughter. This is Coast to Coast AM.